All right, let's go to 1 John. And we're in 1 John chapter 4. Talked a lot about love last time. The agape love. The commitment-driven affection. A love that is of God. And the passage tells us that love was manifested toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. We're going to pick it up in verse 13 tonight. Just follow along as I read. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. There are several observations I'd like to bring out tonight as we look at this text. The first one is the way that John, in this epistle, makes a point of showing us an authentic, true, abiding relationship with God is this picture of God dwelling in us and us dwelling in Him. You see it here in verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Because God has given us of His Spirit, we know that we dwell in Him and He in us. And you see this two-way treatment of the relationship several times in this passage. That a true abiding relationship is both truths being evident. Have you ever stopped to think about what it means for God to dwell in me? I mean, really, let's just let your mind settle on that. Now, I guess we would often say that the Spirit of God dwells within us, but really, we're talking God. There are passages, other places that John writes, where you could see the Father dwells in us, Christ dwells in us, the Spirit dwells in us. God dwelling in you. God dwelling in me. I mean, the ramifications of that are huge. As you contemplate the reality that the Almighty Creator God has chosen to take up residence in every single believer. Think about how God has issued the Great Commission to all believers. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Proclaim God's truth. And so as you and I have been saved and indwelt with the Spirit of God, and then you go out, there goes God with you. And so therefore, every single one of our lives is touched by the very presence and power of God. In a very real sense, Christian. Where you go is affected by the very presence of God and His indwelling power. He's right there. This, of course, is one of the ways that John is seeking to help us as believers to be assured of a right relationship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and with one another. That we collectively and we individually are all people indwelt by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, is confirming of the fact that God is in us and we are in Him. I want to just notice the several, there's five places in this epistle where you see that idea of God dwelling in us and us in Him and going both ways. And I think it's very important that we take time to look at this. What this does is it shows us the steps that God has taken. Listen. The steps that God has taken to secure His children and the security that we, His children, have as a result. I mean, God doesn't have to dwell in us, but He has chosen to do so. And this is a step that God has taken to secure us as His children. I mean, you read about this in some of Paul's writing. You read about being sealed, right, by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the guarantee that we've got an inheritance in heaven, the very Spirit of God dwelling within you. It's securing us as His children, and as a result, we have security. As we know God's in us, and we are in Him. Let's just take a few moments, and this may be all we get to tonight, but that's okay. 1 John chapter 2, I think it's just a neat study to pay attention to these marks of the abiding relationship that John is speaking of. 1 John chapter 2, look at let's start at verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. Now, catch that. Abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. You see the two-way? You see how God's abiding in us is mentioned first in this sentence, in this passage, as an assurance of our abiding in Him. Look at it again. But the anointing which you have received of Him, that anointing, I believe, is a reference to the Spirit of God. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in Him. You. All right, so God is in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you shall abide in Him. You see that? You see that the truth of God dwelling within you brings about an assurance that we are dwelling in Him. Let's look at another one. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we see this in verse 24. Pick it up verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. So this is a believer keeping God's commandments, dwells in Christ. And what? He in Him. See, John makes a practice of this, going both ways. It's not just one way, it's both ways. And again, it's communicating that abiding relationship, the reality of it. It's just not one way. It results in both God securing us, but us feeling and being secure. So that he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. What do we see here? God's abiding Spirit in us confirms the previous mention of us dwelling in him. You see that? You see how hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us? So the Spirit that is in us is confirming the fact and the truth that he abides in us. Look at this next one, 1 John chapter 4. We've already looked at it once. But verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Here we see that God's abiding Spirit in us confirms again that mention that we are dwelling in him. The very fact that God hath given us of us of his Spirit points to that fact that we've got a true abiding relationship. And it's an abiding relationship. Verse 15 of chapter 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. See how it's just happening? It's both of these things. God's abiding in us mentioned first as an assurance of our abiding in him. Don't you think God might want us to get this? Might want us to understand that we have an abiding relationship with God? And what are the ramifications of that again? Wow, that God's presence and power is with us wherever we go. And that we are able to rest and trust, rest in him and trust him. And then in verse 16, 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. It's both ways again. God's love is given as a confirmation of one's abiding relationship with God. So, believer, I really believe that it's important for us to walk around on this earth as Christians, as professing believers in Jesus Christ, understanding the abiding relationship that is ours in Christ. And this is true. This is possible because, yes, Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again, but he went to the heavens to be with his Father, and he sent his Spirit. And his Spirit, not confined to a human body, but is able to indwell every single believer, so that the entire world is touched by the presence and power of God as believers spread out, doing what God has told us to do, ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, as believers, we should stand out. We are unique because God is in us. We're living a life that is influenced by God's Spirit, marked by his Spirit, like Galatians 5 tells us, the fruit of the Spirit. We are marked by that. Praise the Lord for this abiding relationship that is ours in Christ. So back to the text. That was one observation that I felt was necessary just to bring out to help us get this idea of dwelling in him and he in us. That is both ways. And it's a fullness. I mean, it's a full picture, full relationship.
So 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. So now we're seeing the emphasis of the Spirit's indwelling is an important part of knowing we have a right relationship with God. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I can remember as a young man in youth group, this was one of the verses we memorized. And it's a verse that can kind of roll off your tongue very easily, but as I was studying it for our time together tonight, it is jam-packed with some powerful, powerful truth. I mean, what do we see here? We see that John, I believe the we here is the apostles, those who really did see Jesus. And he's testifying, which means he's bearing witness of what he saw. And what did he see? He saw Jesus was one that was sent by the Father with an express purpose to be the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. It's a great subject as we come upon Christmas, isn't it? I was reminded of what is said in Matthew chapter 1, where the angels are proclaiming to Mary and Joseph all about Jesus. And in Matthew 1:21, the angel speaking to Joseph, and he says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is Jesus we're talking about here. And he is the Savior of the world, but he was sent by the Father. I mean, you need to grapple with the fact that God the Father has loved us to the point that he sent his Son. I mean, let that rest on your heart, understanding of who you are as a person with a sin nature who is an enemy of God, but yet God the Father sent him into our world, into our realm. You wouldn't be who you are today if it wasn't for the Father sending his Son. And what does this bring us back to? What we talked about last time, God's love. God's love was shown to us in that God sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. What a powerful statement. And John bearing witness of this as an apostle. And you know, as we think about this, we can testify of the same thing as we have witness of the scriptures and what the scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus. Listen to some of the testimony of the scriptures, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter speaking about Jesus. Acts chapter 5 and verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus. Acts chapter 13. In verse 23, we read this again in a message being preached. Of this man's seed hath God, that's David's seed, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. A Savior, Dear ones, what is a savior? Who is a savior? A savior is a deliverer, one who rescues. And this is Jesus. One other testimony from Paul in his writings in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent," there it is, "God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That's the security of knowing we've got a relationship with God. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" And dear ones, we've got a true relationship with God because God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And we have that abiding relationship that God dwells in us. He secures us. And in that, we are secure. We experience security in the arms of our Father. "No one shall snatch them out of my hand," Jesus said in John chapter 10. And so, we're out of time. And so we will pick it up in verse 15. The next time we're together. But just by way of review, understand this. An abiding relationship is, it's a full relationship. It's both ways. It's God dwelling in us and we in him. Understanding that God's taken a step. God has given you the gift of his Spirit. And the result of that, as a result of that, we need to be living in such a way that it is obvious that we're dwelling in him. Do you always feel like you're dwelling in him? Is it always evident? No. But you know what? God is there. He doesn't leave you. He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. He's there. We have a true abiding relationship with God. And so, remember the love of the Father in that he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's Jesus. And I trust that will come to mind often as you celebrate Christmas, as you see the name Christmas, as you see Christ in this season we celebrate. He's the Savior. Lord, I thank you for your word. And boy, it's exciting to talk about it. God, it's just a joy to contemplate the profoundness of our relationship with you. And God, I think about all these little details that I believe bring even more life, breathe life into this relationship. So God, again, use your word in the lives of your people, all of us. Be a strength to us, Lord, as you are our rock and our deliverer. And I pray that you would allow the ministry of your people this week to be fruitful. And we're praying that souls will be saved. We're praying for opportunities to declare the gospel. Thank you for our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.